This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're kicking off hour two here of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Ariel Epstein, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We are coast to coast. Ariel's out in New York. I'm live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will have the VP of Operations at this fine property, Mike Palm, join the program. We'll get the lowdown on all of the NFL opening round draft props that Circa just put out yesterday, and a little NHL, which is where we are going to start here. Very grateful that Andy Francis hung on with us to continue to dive into the NHL postseason. If you haven't already, make sure you check out the Andy Francis YouTube channel, daily NHL betting videos. He's got series previews up of all of these NHL postseason series set. Also host of the You're Still Here podcast. And Andy, I didn't get to ask you because we dove straight into specific series. Like, what is your philosophy on betting the NHL postseason? Because what I mentioned to Ariel earlier is it's a completely different season than the NHL regular season.
Okay. So am I allowed to say the A double dollar sign word here?
Preferably no, because okay. There are children potentially in cars.
That's fine. I'm well behaved. I know to ask.
Thank you. Family friendly show.
There's a reason why. That's why I'll ask for permission. And no problem staying a little bit longer. Someone with a name as Italian as your last name, I have to do a favor for. So as far as the NHL playoffs go, one of my sayings is the preseason is to the regular season what the regular season is to the postseason. It's just a completely different brand of hockey. Everything you saw is completely different, which is why everyone loves going to playoffs. Non-hockey fans like watching playoffs. It's just all-out war out there. And the reason I asked if I could say that word, I won't, is because for years I told people to wait, because the clenched that word theory is the clenched cheeks theory, let's call it.
There we go.
Is what makes people money come playoff time. The refs, the further the playoffs go down, like round one, round two, and the further the series go into games 5, 6, and 7, those elimination games, the players tend to play ultra conservatively because so much is on the line. The season's on the line. And also, penalties start to be called at a lower rate. Game one, round one, yeah, that's the closest you'll get to a brand of hockey that looks similar to the regular season. But as you go on in these series, every single game, 5, 6, and 7, you just want to be pounding unders across the board on every single player. I'm not kidding. Every last player they have available, just rip the unders on all of them, because every game 7, every one last year, look, I mean, let's start from the Stanley Cup and go backwards. A 2-1 final, Oilers versus the Panthers. Florida. You took everyone in that game. You're just piling up wins. The game 7, Toronto versus Boston, 2-1 overtime final. All those unders you pounded, you're hitting like 80% of them. You can look at the game 7 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas, another 2-1 final. That's how those games go down. People don't take chances. They don't leave themselves susceptible on the back end. And I know some people, because, you know, your average person, they just want to slam the over button on everything. That's the worst thing you can do come playoff time. And it's been 3 straight postseasons. If there's one thing that kind of enamored me to some of the people who watch my videos, it was that clenched cheeks theory, because it made them, you know, a winner many, many times over for multiple postseasons. You can take some of the best offensive teams ever. The Florida Panthers, who won the President's Trophy. So before they went to the Stanley Cup, and then before they won the Stanley Cup, they had the best record in the NHL and one of the top like 2 or 3 offenses of all time. I think they broke the all-time goals record for most goals in a season. Then they played a team who plays true playoff hockey in the Tampa Bay Lightning. And look at the score of every game in that series, 3-1, 2-0. They couldn't score on Vasilevsky. And Tampa will play that playoff style. You're talking about, I think they scored like 3 goals in 4 games and got swept. That was the best offense of all time. It's a completely different sport. Literally forget everything you saw for the most part over the course of the season. Get ready to smack unders and wait for games 6s and 7. Any game 6, any game 7, just start ripping unders. That's my advice.
And Andy, you mentioned games 5, 6, and 7. How about the game 1s that we're going to see this weekend? How would you approach those?
I would approach these game ones are going to be the closest to regular season style. So okay. How about you want to give me, well, pick a series and then I'll tell you how kind of I approach.
Let's go it. Golden Knights Wild.
Golden Knights Wild. Okay. So a team like the Golden Knights, they have a coach in Bruce Cassidy who stresses defense. You could look pretty much all season. They're one of the playoff teams that tries to give you like a balanced wave of attack. This is one where I'm chasing unders right from the get-go because the way Minnesota wants to win is in a low-scoring fashion. The way Vegas wants to win in a low-scoring fashion. Like the Dallas-Colorado series, Colorado wants to score. They're going to press forward. Dallas has been awful defensively the last third of the season, and they have offensive players as well, so they'll be able to put up points. So if you're chasing offense, like a game one there on Saturday, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if that goes over. Wouldn't mind if you want to do some player props, but the prices are pretty disgusting on them. So
yeah,
games like that, I don't mind betting in like a traditional regular season style, but I don't know. Give me another series.
I was going to ask you, though, honestly, as we go through these first round series, is there one that when you were looking at the odds and you were putting your previews together that you thought this was a must bet that you need to fire on? Like, what's your favorite play of the first round?
Do they have to be like generic? I call them like front page pizzeria bets where like your local pizzeria owner even knows what they are. Like, it has to be like overs, under, because I've made people the most money by not just miles. By way more than that, but you know, going between intercontinental amounts of money by weaseling into the player props. Because I will tell you something about
Heck
the NHL.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure you guys cover like all sports. There is no bigger Achilles heel to the sports books than the NHL. The stuff you can find in the NHL, because it's the least bet of the four major sports, you can find Achilles heels all over the place. And many people are surprised. They are shocked at how frequently
you can
win in the NHL when you really start slithering in to the player props. And I'll kind of just leave that at that. But I'm assuming people on this show want like pizzeria style bets, I guess.
No, well, Andy, I am curious which market in the playoff that you really enjoy betting from player prop perspective.
Oh, like I just told you, I wait for games, I wait for elimination games and then crank unders. That's kind of that's where you're going to get the best bang for your buck. Taking things like over on player shots and stuff, that's brutal. That's the worst thing you can do is chase shots on goal at a time where they're the hardest to come by.
Okay.
But I think, some people are lower on them. I talked about how I chased the scam side of the bracket. There is no easier path to the conference final than the Carolina Hurricanes, and there is no team that I dislike their style more than the New Jersey Devils. I honestly would take Carolina minus 1.5 games. I think it's like minus 110 against the New Jersey Devils. I have zero faith in the Devils. I know this Carolina team is theoretically not as good as like last year's, but you get the same exact effort from them every single year. They rarely disappoint you. They've never lost in round one under Rob Brindamore. Never. He's been there for like 6 or 7 years now. They've won every single year, at least one round. So you got to think that continues against essentially the worst team. And they may be worse than the Canadians. They don't have Jack Hughes. They haven't been getting good goaltending. They don't have a bunch of lines. And the Hurricanes always can shut down one line on the other team because they have Jacob Slavin and a good shutdown line. So it's a tall order for the Devils to win this series. So that would probably be my favorite regular bet.
Yep, that's one of my best bets, which we do at the end of the show today. I have Carolina laying the 1.5 in the series, although I got minus 115, so I'm jealous of your minus 110. I want to ask you one last thing.
I don't know. I really don't know. I didn't check recently.
You're good. One last thing before we let you go. Another team I bet, and I am questioning everything in my being for doing so, was the Los Angeles Kings in the series, plus 115 against the Edmonton Oilers. We know the Oilers have had this team's number year after year after year in the postseason. This is the fourth straight time they have played. But if there was an opportunity for the Kings to win, it feels like it's this year. How do you break down the series?
Everything is set up for the Kings to win this series. They have home ice. They had the best home record in the entire NHL this year, which should theoretically be an advantage. I don't believe that is as much of an advantage that everybody thinks that it is. This I guarantee you that this series will come down to this. Are the Los Angeles Kings 27-ranked power play, is it going to come through at all against the Edmonton Oilers? Because it scored a grand total of zero power play goals against them last postseason. Because the way the Kings 5-on-5 are built, that's straight up perfect playoff roster construction. Big guys, physical guys, multiple lines that can contribute 5-on-5, great and sound defensively. But one thing that could win a team any playoff series, even if you thoroughly dominate the other team, is special teams. And the Oilers broke the record 2 years ago for the best power play in the history of the NHL. And they've smacked the Kings with it multiple straight years. So if you're conceding power play goals and you're not scoring power play goals, you're guaranteed to lose the series. So what I'm just staring at is if the Kings power play can score three power play goals, 3-4. Three, this series is going at least 7-4 power play goals, the Kings are winning the series. If they don't score on the power play like they didn't last year, they're losing the series 100% because Edmonton will get theirs on the power play. They never haven't come playoff time. So that's what I'll say. That whole series will come down, for me, to the Kings' power play. If it screws them like last year, they're done, and they have the 27th ranked power play. But I will leave you with this. At the end of the year, they experimented with a 5-forward power play, and it ended the season red hot. So they got that going for them.
Great breakdown, Andy. You're awesome. Thanks for doing this. We really, really appreciate it.
No problem. I'm still sick about this camera.
Especially the extra time. Thank you so much. And make sure you check out the Andy Francis YouTube channel. We'll be right back with Mike Palm next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are just 6 days out from the NFL draft, and every pick matters. VSiN's breaking it down from a bettor's perspective, from draft odds to team needs and player breakdowns. You'll find more of our NFL draft analysis available now on the VSiN Watch app as we welcome you into Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Ariel Epstein, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And speaking of the NFL draft, here where I am broadcasting from, Circa Resort and Casino, yesterday put up a handful of over-under draft position props. We're going to break down that and a whole lot more as we welcome in Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa, live in studio. What's going on?
A handful.
A good chunk.
There's 21.
Yeah, good chunk.
That's more than a hand. That's
like
four
five.
Hands. Four to five,
five
hands
handfuls.
Full of props.
Which I got to say, credit you guys, because I know that no books enjoy booking the draft. They just don't, because it's very rarely, if ever, going to be a winner. But you guys do it, and you get out some good stuff. How much were people immediately betting some of those numbers?
Well, they're moved. I mean, of the 21, 18 of them have made moves since we put them out yesterday afternoon. So three have not. Mimbu at 6.5 is not. Graham at 5.5 is not. And Johnson at 12.5 is not. But there's been some decent movement. I think Ashton Jeanty is very interesting, because I think there's a handful of teams he might go to in the first 15 picks, Stormy. And we set his prop at 6.5 under even. So actually favored to go after, to go 7 or later. But the steam is now to the under, minus $2 now on the under. So it's interesting. It's hard to book. It's hard. Do you move the juice? Do you move a position? And it's not like an NFL game where if you're getting bet to the total, you move it a half point and then a point, and it doesn't work that way. I mean, there might be somebody that you move three spots because the next two teams would have no interest in drafting that person. They don't have that need. So it's a very inexact science. It's based on information. This is our sixth time booking the draft, and we've lost all 5 years. So you just hope to keep it to a minimal loss.
No, I've heard it from so many odds makers out there. They absolutely hate the draft. And I've honestly seen the menu drop from COVID times in 2020, when it was basically our Super Bowl, to it's getting smaller and smaller. So, Mike Palm, how much are you expecting to get, or how much action are you expecting to get from the public this next week?
Well, we limit the amount you can bet. This isn't where we're going to take 250,000 or 100 or 25. I mean, we're giving people a shot at 500 and then move the number. I think that's reasonable. There's a lot of joints give you $20.
Yeah, I thought it would be lower.
50. So. It's like we had this whole debate. We had a meeting, Jeff Benson, Derek, Chris Bennett and myself, how do we want to do? We even want to do it? I mean, that's the first question every year. And if we're going to do it, do we want to have a broad menu but limit it to $100? That doesn't seem like circa, right? So we said in the meeting 12 to 15. Somehow they snuck in an extra six. So there's 21.
Okay. I'm not going to call any other sports books out, but I did see a lot of social media chatter about one operator that put odds up for more than a handful of props and draft positions that was taken down within like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So they took a little bit of action and said, that is all we need today.
What's interesting about it too, is that the length of time you can keep it up varies by state. Like, you know,
and you have to take it down 24 hours before
here,
the draft
in Nevada,
anyways, here.
Right. So yeah. Dave Ross made a good point. People walk in on the day of the draft. Maybe they're flying in Wednesday night. It's too late.
Yep.
You know, 5 o'clock, we're taking it down Wednesday afternoon. Colorado, you can do it right up to when they announce the first pick. Each state differs, but basically we want to keep it up for about a week. So that's why we opened yesterday. Some states it'll be up till Thursday. Some states like Nevada, it'll be down on Wednesday.
Everyone's changing their flights now, Mike. Everyone is going to change their flights for the NFL draft to Vegas. So I want to talk about Shedeur Sanders because it's the big name that everyone's talking about. Where do you think that he plays next year? And is he really going to drop as much as people say?
I don't know. I agree with our position of we have him at 8.5. We opened the juice over 380. It's been bet a little bit over to $4. I mean, can he really drop out of the first round? I find that hard to believe, but I also, and we're not offering this, but over under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round, again, is an interesting prop. As Jonathan Von Tobel pointed out yesterday, I mean, this will be the 9th year of booking it in Nevada, and 6 of the 8 years it's gone under whatever's been posted, sometimes by more than one, right? 1 year's 3.5 and only Pickett was taken. And so
last year was very unique.
Well, and it was unique, and there were some guys that took late steam. There were some guys, obviously, the team knows who they're drafting and that information gets out. So I don't know. Could Jackson Dart be the second quarterback taken? Do neither of them go in the first? I mean, I think it's slightly more likely than not that you'll get 3, but I wouldn't bet on it. I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, there's so much conflicting takes on him. I mean, some people are so flowery in their praise not to be believed, and there's some people that are so critical not to be believed, right? The truth lies somewhere in between, but the main thing is what does that particular team believe when their pick comes up?
I think that there are going to be 3 quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round. Do I think there should be? Probably not. But that's just the world that we live in when quarterback is such an important position in the NFL. We've been talking more on this show today than I feel like we ever have on Money Moves about the NHL.
Oh, gosh.
And I know it's a sport you're passionate about.
John Goulet would be very upset if he was listening right now.
So, yeah, this is our first time bringing up the NFL. Who'd have thunk it? No. So with the NHL postseason, I know we've talked a lot about the Stars as a team you didn't want anything to do with. Obviously, that number has gotten longer for them. Now the Jason Robertson injury. What other teams are you looking to fade this postseason?
Speaking of the Stars, you know, the look ahead, because this was presumed to be the 2-3 matchup in the Central, the look ahead was Stars 135 to 140. And now, painted across the board, Abs 160. And yet, I took at 13-1 for an Abs sweep.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
This team has lost 7 in a row, Stormy. They're not competitive. I don't know where their psyche has been since they blew the 3-goal lead to Vancouver with a minute to go in the game. Why he played his starters or Ottinger on Wednesday night in Nashville, I don't know. And now Robertson gets hurt. Like, everything is going against them. And if they continue to give up 40 shots a game, I think the Avs have a chance to sweep. I would agree with Jonathan Davis. Take a look at Ottinger save props over, though, because he's going to be getting a lot of pucks on net against him. I bet the Kings. My numbers tell me the Kings should be favored in it. I get it. The Oilers have beat them 3 years in a row in the first round. I don't think the Oilers are as good as they were when they went to the finals last year. And if the Kings don't beat them now, they have to, like, petition Bettman to move out of the Pacific.
We need to change the whole format of the postseason because we play each other every year.
Here's an interesting thing. Yeah, go back to the 8, so you might not have to play them. My numbers tell me the Maple Leafs should be like 240 over Ottawa, and yet the series is 175. I have to bet Toronto here, and I know there's a narrative to this line of the past failures of Toronto. I think Berube brings a little different angle, but I'm going to play Toronto here. I have futures on the Lightning. I'm concerned if Tkachuk is healthy, that they're gonna have struggle. It's gonna be a great first round series. Anyway,
I took the Lightning in that series.
Did you at even money?
Yep.
Yeah, I have them. What would you do if you? So I have a Lightning ticket at 12-1, but right now they're 10-1 to win the cup. Would you rather, or should you rather, play the Lightning at 10-1 or play both Vasilevsky and Kucherov at 30-1 for Conn Smythe?
Ooh. What's the number for Conn Smythe? Because all those numbers are big. Yeah,
they're both 30-1. So you could play them both at 30-1, essentially getting 15-1. How are they going to win the cup and not one of them win Conn Smythe unless it's from the loser?
I think that's a great
angle. It's better than 10-1, right?
Vasilevsky's been great too lately.
The same thing with Winnipeg. I mean, they're anywhere between 8 and 10-1 in the market. Yet you can get Hellebuck at 20-1 for Conn Smythe. I can't imagine Winnipeg winning the cup and he doesn't win Conn Smythe.
So we were talking about some of the pricing disparities in the NHL, like futures board, and I think the Winnipeg Jets are another one of those. They just win the President's Trophy, have this amazing regular season, have the best goaltender in the sport, but there is this narrative and perception about Connor Hellebuck not being able to win the big game, and they're, 11-1 in the market right now instead of being among those shorter shots.
Well, in Denver, they call him five a buck because that's how many he gives up when he plays the Avs, right? I mean, they trounce it. The next big playoff game Connor Hellebuck wins will be the first, right? He just hasn't done it. And he couldn't get it done in the finals of the Four Nations either. So I think that kind of buoyed, as much as it might have caused him to continue to have questions, it might have buoyed Bennington. I think St. Louis has a puncher's chance against them. At that price, plus 180, I have to take a small piece of St. Louis in that series. They played four close games this year. One went to a shootout. One is when Winnipeg ended their 12-game winning streak when they were dead exhausted. I think that's a close series as well.
Ariel, you want to give Mike anything in NBA before we hit the break?
Yeah, I know. We've got 30 seconds. Mike, Dame Lillard potentially coming back this series. He was cleared to play. How does the book this series without knowing Dame's future?
Yeah, that's where the one where you're going to have to, put a circle around the game and say we're only going to take so much on a bet because of the uncertainty, right? It's a little bit like the Florida series, too, with Tkachuk in the NHL. You just can't take the outlandish large bets when there's so much health uncertainty. I think the NBA has been very interesting from a betting perspective in the movement in these series. The Nuggets and Clippers totally flip. You got a 7 seed, $1.80 favorite over a 2 seed. I think the NBA is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I guess when that 7 seed is the Golden State Warriors, that'll happen. Mike, this is awesome. Thank you for the time. We appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you for the 10 minutes.
Thanks, Mike.
Ariel, good Friday and happy Easter to you.
Back at you, my friend. We're going to take a quick timeout back on Money Moves after this.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
At the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby is live today and each and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown. Our VSiN horse racing experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman handicap the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses and interview veteran horse racing writer and broadcaster Steve Bick. Don't miss out. Watch VSiN at the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, immediately following our show 2:10 Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel, VSiN Live. You gotta check it out.
What if I told you I have a bet nobody's thought of yet? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Okay, lots of people, you hear that. What in the world is happening to us right now? We're going to have a little bit of fun here. So our wonderful producer, Brian Ortega, has come up with some fun prompts, putting on his sleazy car salesman suit, and he wants to talk us into some bets, see if it's something we're interested in. So will we like them? Will we not? Let's start in the NBA play-in coming in tonight. You are the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. Brian wants to know if Trae Young, under the point prop of 25.5 against the Heat, could be worth a look. Is that something you might be interested in?
I could be interested in the under 25.5. I always feel that these all-star players are overpriced by the market in the playoffs. They want you to come on in and take some overs. Ja Morant, they did it too. He went under with 22 points. I think his prop was 26.5 in the first game. There's another one that I'm blanking on right now, but a lot of these players in these play-in games are such big name players, especially the point guards. and the book is making these numbers too high. The Miami Heat, Stormy, have been a top 10 defense in points allowed all season. So when I'm facing a top 10 defense, I only look for unders. I do not look for overs.
As someone who wants the Heat to win tonight for the bankroll, I hope this happens. I think that would be great. He did have 28 the other night, but made more headlines for getting tossed than he did his scoring performance. Let's hit another Shocker. One here. Right? Klay Thompson. So he looked vintage Klay the other night in the play-in. 23 points, 5 of 7 from 3 in the big win against Sacramento, making him look bad. Brian wants to know if Klay Thompson to make over 3.5 threes in that first game against the Grizzlies is something you might be interested in. Could you be convinced? Plus 135 is the price.
Could be interested in the over on Klay's threes. At least Brian and I are somewhat on the same page in the way that we're handicapping these. 3.5 is a very high number, yet you know when Klay is on the floor, if he's on, he's freaking on. And you're getting Memphis, who's been a bottom 10 perimeter defense all season. They're pretty small. Defense is definitely not part of the Memphis Grizzlies vocabulary. I also look to this team like Klay and AD, who are players that are almost like the ugly stepchild of these NBA championship teams. The Lakers and LeBron. Oh, AD, bye-bye. Golden State Warriors and Steph. Klay, bye-bye. Those two have a massive chip on their shoulder. They have the veteran experience. Klay's getting a bad perimeter defense. Sure. Plus money, plus 135. It could be a nice value play, Stormy.
Doesn't it still feel a little wrong just to see him in Navy? Like, it just feels weird. It's uncomfortable to look at. Same thing with AD. It took me a minute to get used to the yellow, and now none of it makes sense to me, but that's the NBA for you. Let's go to Major League Baseball. We've got a full slate on tap, all 30 teams, 15 games in action, and your girl, Ariel Epstein, loves her a K-prop. Brian Ortega wants to know if you might be interested in the over 6.5 strikeouts for Carlos Rodon today as the Yankees take on the Rays. He's had 8 Ks in 3 of his last 4 games.
Oh, gosh. Can't believe he's going to put me in this spot. Would I be interested in it? No. I don't trust Carlos Rodon to stay in a game in a hitter's park like Steinbrenner Field. However, I love numbers. So I will tell you, the reason that this over 6.5 Ks for Rodon is at minus 125 is because despite how bad Rodon's been in allowing at least 3 or 4 runs in 3 of his 4 starts, he has had at least 7 strikeouts in 3 of those 4 starts. The Rays, their lefty-righty split so far this year have been pretty drastic. Against righties, the Rays have a low K rate. Against lefties, against the 4 lefties that the Rays have faced, it's pretty high. Just under 6 strikeouts a game is what lefty starters are averaging against the Rays. Kyle Freeland had 7, Kikuchi had 5, Sale had 7, and Newcomb for the Red Sox had 4. So I would go over or nothing here on Rodon, but if I'm interested in Carlos Rodon bets, no. The answer is no. I do not trust this man for my life.
And at a minus 125 price either, like, do we really want to lay juice on a guy we don't like? Probably no. That said, again, this Brian did a good job in that I'm rooting against this because I like the Rays today. So prayers up for your girl. Let's stick in Major League Baseball. Tyler Soderstrom yesterday hit his MLB leading 9th home run of this young season, helping the A's to an 8-0 win and series sweep of the White Sox. He's back in action today against the Brew Crew. And while it is Freddie Peralta on the hill, Brian likes Soderstrom's anytime home run prop today at plus 425. Could that be something you might be interested in?
Ooh, you know, I hate home run props, but here, I'll list you some stats about him. So he leads MLB with 9 homers, like you said. Only Aaron Judge has a higher slugging percentage than Soderstrom. In 19 games, Soderstrom's already matched his home run total from last year. And 7 of his 9 home runs have come on the road. He's slashing .439 with 15 ribbies in 10 games away from Sutter Health Field this season. So, sure, if you want to go and ride this hot train, then, yeah, I guess you're getting some value on them, but I don't like home run props. They are not for me.
I don't love it because of the weather, but I could be interested in. Three homers in the last three games, and as you mentioned, seven of his nine on the season have come on the road, so why not? And looking at Peralta's numbers in just four outings, he has given up the long ball thrice. Trying to change up my vocabulary three times. So not out of the realm of possibility. Here we go. To the NFL draft for this next one. Obviously, quarterbacks are always going to be talk of the town. And more often than not, things are overshot a little bit, as we talked about with Mike Palm in the last segment. They set these numbers. Everybody thinks, oh, a million quarterbacks are going to take in the first round. Usually it goes under that prop. Could you be interested in the under 2.5 quarterbacks to go in the first round at 3-1?
I could be interested in under 2.5 quarterbacks drafted. It's very good value at 3-1. It's why it's intriguing. And for anyone listening on radio, the total quarterbacks taken in the first round, it was 6 last year, 3, 1, 5, and 4. So majority do go over. Wouldn't say that this is the most quarterback-driven draft that we've seen. Stormy, you mentioned it with Mike Palm in the last segment. You said, should three quarterbacks go? Or you said, no, you said, will three quarterbacks go? Because that's the way of the world these days, probably. Should three quarterbacks go? Probably not. So if you want value, sure, take the under. But I think you're right. The NFL draft is always just, hey, quarterback. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and this year's quarterback class, we've been talking about it for basically the last calendar year. This quarterback class does not live up to the standards that we saw last year. That's why we saw six go so early in last year's draft, because they knew what was coming. Cam Ward is minus 10,000 to be the number one overall pick in this year's draft of the Titans, despite on many people that I respect's big boards being the 13th overall prospect. Shedeur Sanders, for many people, is not a first round talent, yet he has potential to go top six. You know, like, we don't know ultimately where he's going to go, but at least his position prop set at 8.5. Jackson Dart set at 24.5. Most people like the under. I think the expectation is 3. I think we get 3. I do not think that Jalen Milroe creeps into the first round, but I feel like we're going to feel pretty solid with Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and Jackson Dart all going in the first round of the NFL draft, whether it is right or wrong. I know we also didn't talk about the Aaron Rodgers stuff that came out yesterday. Maybe we can touch on it a little bit in the next segment. But what I'm really interested to see in is what happens at 21 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is it Dart, or if Sanders is available, is that of interest? Because based on everything I heard from Aaron Rodgers yesterday on Pat McAfee, that did not sound like a guy that particularly wants to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which is kind of crazy, because you've great experience head coach in Mike Tomlin. You've got weapons now on offense. You always have a good defense with Watt anchoring it. Great division to prove yourself in. Is it because he doesn't want to get banged up by the AFC North? Because if there is a way to retire, it's by playing as quarterback in the AFC North, Stormy.
Right, no question about it. When I was listening to Rodgers yesterday, though, it sounded to me like, I don't know if you ever had one of those guy friends that you didn't really want to date, but they were very nice enough. They're good looking. And you're like, maybe at 35, if we're both single, then we'll get together. That's kind of how this felt. Like, Aaron's like, I don't really want to go to Pittsburgh. The Steelers probably don't think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thing in the entire
world.
Well,
here's the thing.
He
probably wants to bring
antics,
his own people. And the Steelers are already so established. Like, we've got our people. Like, we're good.
Yeah, they're like, but if we don't have anybody else, then I guess we could get together. We'll see what it looks like. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, rounding out today's Friday edition of Money Moves, our best bets for the day. You won't want to miss it.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are wrapping up this Monday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. She is the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We'll get into our best bets in a moment. But I just wanted to round out a couple more thoughts on that conversation we were having before the break on Aaron Rodgers. And he had a very long hit on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. He got into what was a very abrupt ending in New York. And I did think that was actually the most interesting of the entire conversation. But for our context as a betting network, obviously his context and the things that he was saying about whether or not he was going to go to the Steelers and what that relationship looked like stood out. I was very much so of the belief prior to listening to Aaron Rodgers talk yesterday that that marriage could work and made a lot of sense. The Steelers know that Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson is not the answer for them at quarterback. Yes, should they draft somebody? Sure. But having a veteran in the room, somebody who's going to be a Hall of Fame guy, has all the talent in the world to lead that room, I thought made a lot of sense. Maybe Mike Tomlin could rub off on Aaron Rodgers the way he did on Russell Wilson and kind of helping revamp the narrative and perception of him. There were a lot of things I thought made sense. But then listening to Rodgers yesterday and some of the comments that he said, and answering a question without answering a question. Like, he says a lot of words without saying anything. Oh, and apparently, actually, we have a soundbite on it. So take a listen.
About me, that's just not true. I've been straight up with these teams from the start about where I was at, you know, starting with the money thing. You know, I told every single one of the teams I talked to, you know, it ain't about the money. I'll play for 10 M's. You know, I don't care. I never once said I need a multi-year deal, $30, $40 million. It's absolute. I said, play for 10.
Okay. So one of, you know, many sound bites there, but the one that stood out to me was he said the entire time I haven't felt like I owed anybody some sort of decision at any point. He said, there's no deadline. He said, he's trying to be open and he's not holding anybody hostage in reference to the Steelers. But what did you make of all this?
Clearly he doesn't like what's going on over there in regards to not catering to what his needs might be. When Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets allowed for him to bring in the coaches that he wanted, the receivers he wanted. The Steelers are a well-oiled machine minus one massive piece, which is the quarterback position. Their head coach, Mike Tomlin, has had at least a 500 record throughout his entire tenure in Pittsburgh. They've got a great defense. They have a front office that knows what they're doing. They have pretty much everything in line. So to not cater to Aaron Rodgers' needs for just like 1 year, it doesn't surprise me. Aaron Rodgers is the kind of family member that you walk into family dinner, Stormy, and you just don't know what you're going to get. Some days they ruin family dinner, and the other days it's a great family dinner, and they have you cracking up and laughing the whole time. You just don't know what day you're going to get Aaron Rodgers on. If his meeting with the Steelers like went south because of one thing, maybe he's at the point in his career now, like he kind of said on McAfee yesterday, I mean, I'm willing to retire and I'm willing to play.
Yeah.
So it tells me that it's like, well, it's like us, like if you're not single, but if I'm single, if the best option's not going to come at me, I'm not going to settle because I just want to get married. I'm going to go and like wait out someone that I actually want to enjoy being with. So maybe Aaron Rodgers kind of feels that way. He wants to feel loved.
I could see that. So that's that last part. That's what I think. I feel like he wants to be wanted. He wants the Steelers to say, I need you, Aaron, instead of admitting the current state of his reality, which is that he's a 40-year-old aging quarterback who in the last year had major surgery and is 13-21 his last 34 games, averaging 20 points per game in that time, which is the reality of the situation. So sorry, no, people aren't going to be on their hands and knees begging for you right now. That said, in the Steelers' position odds for the draft, quarterback and defensive line edge, plus 195 favorites for that position. Jackson Dart, who we discussed a little bit earlier, his prop position set at 24.5. A lot of that love to the under. The Steelers, of course, draft at 21. But cornerback 5-1, O-line plus 550, running back 9-1, wide receiver 12-1. The list goes on and on. I just thought it was an interesting conversation to be had.
Well, and here's the other thing, Stormy. I could see Aaron Rodgers if he doesn't feel the love preseason. We know what happens throughout the NFL preseason, even the first 2 to 4 weeks of the NFL regular season. Someone goes down. If someone goes down on a playoff contending team where they feel they have all the pieces in place and now their quarterback goes down, all they need is someone, then Aaron Rodgers is going to feel loved and wanted when someone needs someone to fill their shoes.
Yep. All right, let's get to it. Cruising through our best bets today, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN, and for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. When you sign up, customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases the first 90 days from that account opening, you're going to get a $250 bonus. Apply now at VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. And I'll head to the prop queen first. What props do you have tonight, girl?
You want me to go through all three props, or you want to go back and forth?
Get them. Go through.
First, it's the Orioles lefty, Cade Povich. He's pitching against the Reds at 7:05 p.m. Eastern time. Povich over 4.5 strikeouts. I got it -110. Povich is being completely undervalued. I know that he has had back-to-back games going under this number, but those were low K-rate teams. Now, you look back to game one of the season, his opening day start, 8 strikeouts against a high K-rate team. So that was the Red Sox, by the way. Now you're getting another high K rate team, the Reds. They're averaging just over 5 strikeouts a game against lefty. Last year, they also averaged just over 5 strikeouts a game against lefties. Nestor Cortez had 6. Tyler Alexander had 6. Andrew Heaney had 6. So I would take the over on Povich K's. An under on a strikeout prop, Atlanta's righty Bryce Elder to go under 4.5 strikeouts. Got this one around -125. Elder has started twice this year. He had 3 against the Dodgers, 4 against the Rays. Both of those teams are striking out more than the Twins, and yet he couldn't hit 5 strikeouts in those starts. Elder pitched 3 games last year against low K-rate teams, never even touched 4 strikeouts. So again, you're going to see a 4.5 K prop against a team like Minnesota, where 12 of the 16 pitchers who have faced this team as a righty have gone under their strikeout prop. So go with the under on Bryce Elder. Over to the NBA tonight. I bet this prop 2 days ago on Wednesday, and it lost. And I was really upset about it. But we're going to get Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat again, facing another bottom 10 defense, the Atlanta Hawks. Bam is going to have a big offensive performance for the Heat to be in this game. It's a 1-point spread. The issue with Bam's points prop when I lost 2 days ago was his over 19.5. He had 15 with like 8 minutes left in the game. The Heat were being blown, or they were blowing him out. So there was like not really much time for Bam to have to play in the fourth quarter. Hopefully with a 1-point spread, that means that Bam will play the full minutes. We won't have to worry about him getting taken out on a bad beat. And also, you've got Dyson Daniels on the other side for Atlanta. He's going to guard Tyler Hero. If the Heat are going to make this game close, you need Bam, who, by the way, in 10 of the last 11 playoff games, has gone over his 19.5 points. So I'm going to take Bam again over 19.5 points. And Stormy, if this loses, then I am putting Bam in the graveyard.
Okay. I hope Bam has a great day because I am on Miami +1. I think that they win the game outright, though. So if you can find, like, shop around, obviously, for the best number, because there are still ones either way available in the market. But I am on Miami today. Also in Major League Baseball, I did roll on the even money price on the Rays against the Yankees today. Tampa Bay opened a -115 favorite. We've seen all of this public Yankees money come in. I don't trust Carlos Rodon, as we talked about earlier. I like Drew Rasmussen fine. And I think that they come out here. I also took the under in Royals Tigers at 7.5. Do I love it? Not necessarily, but I do like it. Scattered showers, a little rain coming in, and a pitching advantage, I think, in this spot. Like, and I mean, with both things here. So Jackson Jobe isn't great, but the Royals lineup is bottom 3 in Major League Baseball. And I really like the start Cole Reagans has had. He's been a strikeout machine. Each of his last 3 starts struck out at least 10. He's gone 5 or more innings in all of those. So I think Tigers lineup, little hit or miss with that. 5 of their last 6 games, 7 of their last 9 have all gone under. So under in that game, we're just going to feel it out. I did a slight little sprinkle money on the Nationals money line at the Rockies because the Rockies are hot garbage and I like Mackenzie Gore. In the NHL, a couple series spreads I did bet. The Vegas Golden Knights -1.5, meaning they need to win by at least 2 games. So a sweep 4-1, 4-2. I think Vegas has potential to make this the shortest series in the opening round against the Minnesota Wild. Minus 2.5 games is also plus 220. Sweep is 8-1. No matter how many personnel changes this team has year after year, they are always exciting. They always have depth. The Wild went through so many injuries this year. Yes, they've got some guys back now, but what will that look like? I'm not sure. I love Vegas. I love Carolina laying a 1.5 series spread against the New Jersey Devils, which we talked about with Andy Francis earlier. I took the Kings as a plus 115 dog to beat the Oilers, even though Edmonton has beat them the last 3 years. I don't care. This is the year for the Los Angeles Kings. They're getting out of the first round, winning that one. And I took the Lightning as a dog against the Panthers, despite Florida being the defending champs and your current favorite on the Stanley Cup odds board. I think they go down in round one. For Ariel Epstein, our producer, Brian Ortega, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Such a fun day with you today. Enjoy the weekend. The NBA and NHL postseason are upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Prop Points coming up after this.